Amen. Thank you, Cheryl, so much for that, leading us in song, in spite of the we weren't able to get the one mic that we usually have, but she just sang it like she sang it, so we appreciate her effort. Amen. Thank God for coming out again, and it just delight even when we can gather on the campus. We wanted to gather all last month and weren't able to, but God has blessed us with a nice day today together. So we just praise God for that, and we're just asking Him to really be with us this morning in a special way that we can all be blessed. Let's get into the Word of God. This morning we are in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. We pray that you would keep your Bibles open or either your devices ready to follow some scriptures throughout the sermon. We're going to look a little bit back in 2 and a little bit forward, maybe in 4. So keep your Bibles open and ready as we kind of study the Word of God on this morning. All right, Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Then a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called the Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Amen. Now look especially at verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received the strength. Amen. We want to talk this morning from the subject, in uplifting culture. In uplifting culture. Amen. This sermon, I'm going to have some portability. Portability in this sermon, because portability means it's some truths. Give me a water, right quick. It's some portability in these truths that you can move from family to church to any organization, business, amen, community, especially any organization has a culture. The question is, what kind of culture does your organization have? What kind of culture does your home have? What kind of culture do we have at church? What kind of culture does your business or your place of employment or your school have? Amen. What I want to kind of share with you this morning is, as we enter this year as a church, we want, and like I said, you can make this portable to any other organization, family, any other group or even yourself personally. We want to create. I think we've already begun to move in this direction. What I want to do is to encourage you to continually move in the direction of creating a culture of uplift, an uplifting culture where people are uplifted. Y'all with me so far? Just like in that verse 7, the man was uplifted. So I want Bethsaida to have a culture that uplifts. You know it's possible to be a church and still not have the kind of culture that uplifts. You can't have a culture that puts down. Y'all listening? We do not. The thing we want to avoid, and I'm be working on, is any aspect of our culture within our local body that pulls down or puts down. With all that is going on in our world, the last thing that the people of God and those that are seeking God need when they come to the house of God is to be put down or pulled down. Now, if you're going to do this, listen here. If we're going to create this culture, we got to come first as a contributor and not a consumer. Listen to what I'm saying. When we come to share and join in the gathering of the people of God, and this is good for any organization, when you come, you ought to come to as a contributor. A contributor means you come there for what you can give. Consumers come for what they can get. When we come to the house of God, we need to come for what you can give and not what you can get. You're going to get something, but come with the mindset first. What can I give to uplift those that I will come into contact with today? You come to church like that. I'm coming out, and there's somebody there that had a difficult week. There's somebody there that has had a difficult morning even, or a difficult night. If they're here because they need to be uplifted by the people of God. They need to be uplifted by being in the presence of God's people and feeling His presence through them. You have to come with that mindset, and you have to come looking for an opportunity to uplift somebody. I know one of the things that those of us with roles to play in the body of Christ, often we come and focus on the role. But we have to be careful. And sometimes because of time limitation, we have to be careful not to let the role we play keep us from being uplifting to others. Because if we play our role and nobody is uplifted, then our role was worthless. So come with the spirit to uplift somebody when you get here. Now, one thing I have to fight against, I think all of us to some extent, is when you grow up, or not even grow up, sometimes as adults, somehow you have insecurities or emotional deficits or wounds. It's easy to come to get something. Amen. Because church is often a place where you can find acceptance and people give you attention and affirmation. So you'll start coming for you and what happens to you rather than what you can do for others. And it'll be all about you. How attentive are people going to be to me? How affirming are they going to be to me? How accepting are they going to be to me? And I'm glad you came in with, because we want you. If you're in that situation, or if we are in that situation, because a certain day we're all in need of that to some extent. But don't make that your primary focus. Make your primary focus is what you can do for others and lifting them up. Come as a contributor and not a consumer. So let's talk about this uplifting culture. We want to continue to create it more and more here until when people come, they are uplifted. There's one thing we want to focus on. If they come into any of our gatherings, hear our gatherings on the podcast, or when we begin to go back in the building, share in our gatherings inside, the one thing we always want to happen is people that are down and struggling and having a difficult week or a difficult day to be uplifted by what takes place. Does anybody want to join me in that, creating that kind of culture? If you want to join me, just blow your hand and say, I want to join you, Pastor, and I want to create that kind of culture here. Then I know I got you on my side. But we are really on God's side, because I think that's what God wants from us. Now, first, I'm going to look at this in three points that I do a lot of times. The first thing I want to talk about, and we're going to look back at chapter 2 a little bit, is we must have an uplifting internal culture. Internal culture. We have to have an uplifting internal culture. That means we have to uplift one another, in those of us that are part of the body of Christ. When you have an uplifting internal, that means if you're a business, and you want to uplift your customers, before you can uplift your customers, you have to uplift each other. If you're an organization that's helping, that's reaching out to others, before you can make a positive impact on the others you're trying to reach out to, you first, my brothers and sisters, have to do it to one another. So as a church, before we can uplift our community, we got to be sure that we uplift one another as a local body. Now, if you look back to chapter 2, that's why I told you, I asked you to leave your Bible open, because I wanted you to see this in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 42. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. The Holy Spirit has come. People are filled with the Spirit. By what I mean by filled with the Spirit is a resident in them. It lives in every believer. But not only is the Spirit a resident, the Spirit is also a president. Amen. Not only does he, in this section that we are looking at, not only is he present in every believer, but amen, he's president of every believer's heart. All right, verse 42 says, then those who gladly received this word, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. They was in the word of God, amen. This church was a learning church, learning about God, God's way and God's will. They was in the word of God. It was a learning church. I went over to the same passage not too long ago with you, and I'm going to use some of those same terms. I'm going to kind of remind you of it. And then it said also, not only in doctrine, but in fellowship. And I just want to go, fellowship, it talks about the loving. So not only were they a learning church, but they were a church where people got love. There was a learning church, and also there was a loving church. They had fellowship. They spent time together, caring for one another. And then, out of that learning and loving, they were also a lavish church in the way they gave their generosity toward one another. It said that because some of them, didn't have adequate support or adequate means, that they loved each other so much, those that had extra stuff, they would sell. Amen. Some sold all, but a lot of them just sold some of their stuff, so the ones that didn't have could have. And I always say this, if you are have, one of the responsibilities God give for all the haves is to go to the have not and to turn have not into have. You listening? You listening to me? If you are a have, if God has blessed you with what you have, your responsibility as a have is to go to the have nots and turn the have nots into haves. That's what we all need to do. So they said, hey, you know, I got this extra, or I got this extra land, or these extra cattle, or sheep. This over here, I'm not you. So they would sell so that everybody had what they needed. It said they had everything in common. Amen. In other words, they had, you have to have the attitude when you become a follower of Christ that everything I have belongs to God. Amen. And when everything you have belongs to God, it's easy to share it with somebody because you know it's not yours anyway. God has made you stewards of it, and you should share it with others. So this was a learning church. This was a loving church. This was a lavishing church because of the generosity. They lavish in generosity. They didn't give you a little bit, but they were really generous to you. But lastly, it was a lasting church because the God added to the church daily. And when God is adding to a church daily, the church will last. If God ain't adding you to you daily, you ain't going to last because pretty soon all those you got going to pass. But if he's adding to you late every day, then the church can last. So my brother and sister, that's the kind of internal culture we want to create. We want to create an internal culture where you, after you learn about how God loves, we practice it in loving one another. And that love comes out in our generosity toward one another. And God says, when you have that kind of culture, I'll add to the church daily. Yes, he did it then, and he will do it now. So the internal culture has to be right. Because if your internal culture ain't right, your external culture won't be right. Are you with me so far? So I'm talking about your internal culture. That's how if you're a business, that's how the workers treat each other. If you're a church, that's how the church treats each other, the internal culture. But now, not only must you focus on the internal culture, now that you're treating each other lovingly and lavishingly and generously and being there and supporting one another and praying for one another and encouraging one another and trying to do when you see one another, lift them up. Sometimes, you don't have to do a whole lot because, you know, the power, there's the life is in the word. Sometimes it's just the word you say. And sometimes it's not only the word you say, but how you say the words. It's even when you got to be corrected. It's how you correct. You shouldn't be, you should correct with grace. In words, correct with grace. Don't be extremely hard on people. Treat people like you want to be treated. Correct others like you want to be corrected. And if you can create that kind of culture, it's an uplifting culture internal. But let's go external now. That's in the church. But what about the community outside the church? This is kind of the big thing that we want to talk about today, is the community outside the church. Here it was. We see in our passage today is there's a man and he's laying. He what some would call a beggar, and he's laying outside of the temple at the gate called Beautiful. Now, Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, talks about this gate a little bit in his writing, and he said this gate was about 75 foot tall, and it was brass with all kinds of ornaments, and you just see it in the sunshine, and it was just a beautiful gate. Here it was, this beautiful structure. It was a beautiful structure. In front of this beautiful structure was a broken soul. A beautiful structure and a broken soul. The thing we cannot do, and it teaches us this, don't let the beautiful structure distract you from the broken soul. Don't miss that. Yes, we want our church to be as beautiful and attractive as possible, but we cannot let a beautiful structure
become our all in all, and therefore distract us from the broken souls in our community and those that come and visit and share in fellowship with us. We cannot let a beautiful structure blind us and cause us to be distracted from the broken soul. So in this passage, now you know one thing I really like about this passage, they're spirit filled. They got a good internal culture. The only way to prayer meeting. And if prayer meeting people, prayer meeting people are more prone to be uplifting people. Because when you spend time with God, when you spend time with God, God fills you where you can pour out on others. Prayer meeting people, if you come to prayer meeting, that means you're usually praying home a lot too. Prayer meeting people, when you spend time in intimate with God and God fills you up, when God fills you up, you can pour out on somebody else. Now, the problem is, remember I talked about contributors and consumers. Consumers want what they get. Contributors want to give. So when God fills you up, you ain't too much worried about getting because you already full of God. You ready to bless somebody else. But now, when you come empty, when you come to church empty, and we want people to come empty too so you can get filled up. But when you come empty, you are more prone to be looking for what you can get out of church than what you can put into. So here they come. Peter and John come in the prayer meeting, and because they are people and men of prayer, they already feel. They see this beautiful gate, but then they see something that's even more important because they prayed up and they're looking for an opportunity to uplift somebody. You want to come to church looking for an opportunity to uplift somebody. Even on your way to church, let's look for an opportunity to lift up somebody. As Cheryl always says, because if you're not looking for that opportunity to lift up somebody, sometimes you will pass church on your way to church. You got to be on the lookout. You ought to just start out Sunday morning, whenever you're going to service, or whenever you're going to do your business. Okay, God, just give me an opportunity today to be an uplifter. Because I know that's what you were. You uplifted. And just like you uplifted, I want to be an uplifter. You have to have that uplifting spirit wherever you go. Even the time I spent as a car salesman, and one of the things and I'm not even saying this as it's just the only illustration I can think of. I was hoping I was trying to find an illustration that I didn't even have to get into. Didn't include me. But one of the things I did after I got into it, I realized that every customer wasn't going to be a good customer, and you didn't want to be disappointed when things didn't work out and you didn't make the sale. So I had got a different philosophy. I said, hey, God, I'm not even going to be here to sell cars no more. I'm just going to be here to make people's day better. So everybody I come into contact, I just want to make them, if they down, I want to do something that'll just make their day better. I just want to talk to them. I listen to them. Hold a conversation to encourage them because I just want to make their day better. And by making their day, because I was focused on them and making their day better, the Lord blessed me to be able to make sales that I wasn't even really focused on. So you see what I'm saying? So that's the way we ought to, that's the way we have to go into our community. They saw this man that was lame from birth. He was a beggar. They laid him down. He had never walked. He had a congenital disease. Ever since he was born, he had never walked. Thankfully, somebody brought him and laid him there, because this is where, if you were poor, you asked for alms. Because you know, you got to remember how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the church leaders was back in those days. A lot of them came because they wanted to show how how in tune with God they were, or how religious they were, by their offering, how they gave the people. So this was a good position for the guy, because he knew there was going to be some people come to church that they were going to give, whether they were generous or not. They were going to give if they just giving a show off. Amen, for everybody how godly they are. So here they were. And you'll see all these poor people by the gates and by the temple. Say, alms for the poor, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And trying to get you to share with them, alms for the poor, something that will help them, amen, through the day. So they laid him out there in his prime position. So he cried, alms for the poor. But it said, now Peter then saw him and walked over to him. And you know, right then, he really thought he was going to get a donation for the poor. But Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold have we none. We ain't got no money. Right now, we ain't really got no money. But we do have what you need. You got to realize sometimes people operate in their felt need. Felt need is a need that you think you, it's something you think you want. It's something you think you need. But God will prompt you if you're an uplifter. Sometimes, and you may not have what they think they need, but you have what they really need. You have their primary need. They came for a physical need, but you have what they need primarily. And sometimes God allows us to take care of physical needs in order to get to that primary need. So it says, the Peter and John said, now I'm glad he put Peter and John together. Peter and John are two different personalities, y'all. You hardly ever hear John saying anything. John is an introvert. Amen. Usually he just kind of stay in the background. He's a great thinker. He likes to be close in relationship, but he's an introvert. Peter is an extrovert. You can't, Peter always gonna be the first one to talk. The first one to say something. He'll say stuff before he even know what he's talking about. He'll volunteer for things he ain't even thought about. That's Peter. Peter is talkative and introvert and all out and giving everything. And John is kind of more laid back and introvert. Well, Peter's an extrovert. I might have said it wrong. Peter is all about extrovert and being involved and being loud and lively. That's Peter. John kind of laid back, mild introvert thinker. Because when I talk about uplifting, you don't have to be an extrovert to uplift people. You can be an introvert and uplift people too. That's why I think the story had Peter and John. Regardless of your personality, you can be an uplifting person. So Peter and John come and they say, hey, we don't have no money. We don't have no silver gold. But Peter says, such as we have, give I unto you. And I'm glad y'all talking about that before I came, because y'all didn't even know what I was going to preach about. But y'all already talking about the name of Jesus. And it came out here. And look here. It said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have is Jesus. What we do have is the name, the character, the power of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, which is the power of Jesus, we say, rise up and walk. Something about the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Power. Amen. Sometimes, you know, he said, if you won't cry, I'll make the rocks cry. He done made the car cry because y'all look too quiet. He made the car pray. So I said, let me go ahead and give him some praise. Oh, I don't want to say nothing. Thank God. And so he said, we don't see him and go have we none, but in the name of Jesus. And he rise up and walk. Now, the man, now you got to realize this guy had never walked. He doesn't even have muscle developed to walk with. The way Luke wrote the book of Acts, Luke is a doctor, he described it seemed like the ankle and the foot bone are not connected right. It doesn't have strength in it. But the man said, now, this man is lame. He ain't got the muscles developed to walk. His foot and ankle not connected right where he can walk. But they say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And then he ain't got up yet because he don't know how, you don't know how to get up. But Peter reaches down, and maybe John too, and they lift him up. And all of a sudden he felt something he had never felt before, as strength came into his ankle and feet, and he rise up, and a man that didn't have muscle to walk, didn't have, amen, an ability to walk, is all walking. That would have been good, just to walk. But you know, this man had never walked his whole life. He'd been begged and had to worry people to come and take him out and lift him and put his pallet out in front of the temple. All of a sudden, he's on his feet. And never before had he walked, and he began to walk. And he's so happy, so joyous to be able to walk, he started leaping. Yeah, yeah. And the man, remember, he couldn't even walk. A minute ago, he couldn't walk, but now he can walk, and the fact that he can walk, he get to leaping. Yeah, yeah. And praising God. Can you see him leaping and praising God? Hallelujah. And just, and everybody looking at him, what in the world has happened? Yeah, yeah. Why he doing all that? Why he got to do all that he doing? Sometimes folks don't know your story. Yeah. They don't understand why you're doing all that. He said, y'all don't know. They've been bringing me out there a long time. Never did I ever expect to be on my own feet walking. I got to praise him. If you know where I came from and what the Lord has done for me, I can't help but to praise him this morning. Woo! And he got leaping in the temple. And your folks said, what, hey man, what would you do? He had to explain. They said, oh, that's the one. Wait a minute. This is the one we passed by. They be out there. He been lame. How is it that you're walking today? And he tell them how it happened. He got a testimony now. Woo. Listen. That's our task. That's our primary task, is to give people Jesus, to make them disciples so they can move to be empowered people. God's power is enough to break any chain that you have. I wish I had a witness. Amen. God's power can lift you. He came, he didn't want much, because sometimes the thing that happened to us, the woundedness, our insecurities, our emotional deficits, make us settle for less. We said, I'll just take what I can get. He said, I just want room. I just want enough to give a little food. I just want enough to make it. But I'm going to tell you, God's people, when God's people show up, God's people always exceed your expectations. He wasn't even thinking about walking. But when the people of God show up, it's our responsibility to exceed the expectations of the people we come into contact with. They ain't gonna expect the kind of love that we're gonna give them. They ain't gonna expect the kind of resources that we can bless them with. My brothers and sisters, I'm trying to say that that's our culture. That's why when we used to go to the prison ministry, hope we get back in, we went there not because of what they can do for us, but what we can do for them. Wasn't no money in it. Amen. You had to get up early in the morning. But we saw the possibility. These men, many of them may have been in there unjustly. Amen. Unjustly, because some of the laws were unjust that put them there. Some of them are innocent of things, but they still need God. Even the one that was there because they were truly guilty of a crime still needed God, because one day they're going to be set free, and we want them to come back and be believers who are productive citizens who can make their communities better. When we go to the nursing home, we go there to brighten up somebody's day. We realize a lot of them aren't as tempted. A lot of them are meditating, and they may not be able to get everything we're singing, but they're just joining in the singing and uplift them. You don't go to get stuff out. You go for what you can give. When we go to the mobile pantry to feed the hungry, we don't do that for no applause for us. But somebody there is, amen, at the end of the month, and their food is running short. Their pantry is almost out. They got children at home going to sleep hungry at night. If we can be some help, amen, we want to be some help. Everything we do, we are doing to uplift somebody. The reason why we're trying to establish the homeless initiative is because they're homeless people. People living outdoors with no home, no roof over their head, no shelter from the storm. We can't, just because God has blessed us, we have a roof over our head. We can't forget those that don't have a roof. We can't let a beautiful structure keep us from the broken souls and all their needs. We got to uplift. Uplift somebody. Reach out. And that's our external uplift. Just like we want to reach down. They're not lame physically, but they're lame. So some might be lame financially. Lame means you don't have no power. Some of those prisoners, they're lame because they have to get a job when they get out of prison. They don't have skills. And sometimes you have to help them with that. Wherever you can help in the community, wherever we can help, we want to be of help. Sometimes we're like, to some extent, we may be like Peter and John, even though we have resources. We may not have enough to meet it, but we can partner with other people. We can support other people who are doing it. Then as all the churches support, amen, one or two organizations, the organizations can be helpful to the community. But whatever way, we just want to have a part. Sometimes we can't do the whole thing, but if we can be a partner, if we can take a part, if we can find some way, amen, as we walk through this world, so that our living won't be in vain, if we can find some way to be a blessing to somebody, then thank God that we can be that blessing. External uplift. Who have you uplifted this week? Who have you uplifted in your community, on your job, in your school? Who have you lifted up? Who have you reached down to? And one thing I like about this, it said, amen, Peter and John, they lift down and picked up this man. I think it's especially important for the brothers of the church, the brothers that have been discipled and grown strong in God, to be able to reach down to other brothers in the community that are struggling in various ways and lift them up. Say, brother, I realize you're down, but let me tell you about Jesus. The same one that lifted me can lift you. Amen. The same struggle you have, amen, I had too, and I lifted you. Amen. And if you're still in that struggle, he can lift you. Amen. I'm glad God can lift you today. And that's why I'm trying to tell you, because he's the one that can lift you. You don't have to remain there. Amen. Just like this lame man. He thought that had to be his whole life. He thought he was going to never walk. He thought he was going to never have this opportunity. But he was underestimating the power of God. There's a God that can do anything, that can be, allow you to be victorious over any situation. So, lift. It was good. Because now the ladies, they always lifting up one another. But these are men lifting up another man. I just want to share that for the men. Men, we have to lift up other men. Amen. That's what a man is about. Lifting up your brother. Your brother, man. So we lift them up. Inside, we lift up each other. Outside, we lift them up. Then you can, like I said, you can use your words. You can lift up people with your resources. Somebody needed, they have to be lifted up with some resources. Amen. You lift them up by giving them food. Things that people really need. And sometimes, don't do it to be seen. Be sure you don't do it to be seen. As best as you can, try to do it without anybody knowing you're doing it. That's when it's sincere. Whole lot of folks, they do stuff to be seen. They give their arm to be seen. That's why a lot of folk at the temple did it. But try to give it to them in a way that won't be seen, but it'll be a blessing to somebody. Don't I tell nobody about it. Hey, I didn't want to bless somebody. Amen. A lot of times I remember blessing the good thing about the people of God who are close to God, who are praying praying, people, when you spend time with God, the intimate God, God will reveal to you who's in need.
Amen. That's why when it comes to giving to people as a church organization, you got to put the people in charge of giving need to be praying to. Because God will give them insight into how to give and what to give. Amen. And sometimes you may not even know a person hurting, but they have the distinct way of knowing that somebody's in need and they're there to meet that need. All right, y'all. I think I've been preaching a little long. I don't know what my clock. I forgot to put barriers in my clock. But let me go ahead and end this thing. So there is an internal need. We got to be a blessing and uplift one another in the church. Then the church together, we got to go out and be the uplift to the community outside the church. So we got the internal us doing being a blessing to each other, the external to us being a blessing to the community. But then there's what I call the eternal uplift. Amen. The eternal uplift comes, amen, in the person of Jesus Christ himself. He lifts us up. Amen. Christ lifts us up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. And that's what, if you look in the rest of chapter 3, going into chapter 4, Peter preaches that sermon. He said, how did this happen to you, man? And the man goes over, and he grabs Peter and John, he's holding on to Peter and John and hugging Peter. And Peter, wait a minute. It's not us. It's not us that did it. We don't want y'all to get it wrong. It's not us. And then he began to preach and explain. It wasn't me and John, even though we were just being used by God, but it was that Jesus, that same Jesus that y'all heard about, the one that was crucified on Friday and hung on an old rugged cross, the one that died on the cross and was buried Friday, and the one that was there all Friday night and all Saturday night, but that he rose early Sunday morning, that same one that was crucified, and now he's alive. He's the one that healed this man.
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
That's the eternal uplift. When we uplift the name of Jesus, he said, Peter said, not my name. Don't uplift me and John. Don't uplift Bethsaida. What Bethsaida is here to do is to uplift the name of Jesus. We want you to know how great our God is. We want you to know how he blessed us, how he took care of us, how wonderful he is. Something about the name of Jesus. That's what we want you to know. We want you to know this Jesus. We want you to want to do. Because when you uplift the name of Jesus, stuff happens. The man gave his testimony. He uplifted the name of Jesus and all the stuff. And then you look over into the first two or three verses of chapter 4 after the sermon, and they heard it. And something wonderful happened. I'm talking about the eternal uplift. When God takes us from heaven, from earth to heaven, the eternal uplift is said on that same day. After the lame man was healed and God showed who he was, how powerful he was, how good he was, how gracious he was, how merciful he was, on the same day, 5,000 souls added to the church. If it's an uplifted culture, folk will be attracted to you. If your business has an uplifting culture, they'll be attracted to your business. If your school had an uplifting culture, they'll be attracted to your school. If the church has an uplifting culture, they'll be attracted to Jesus. 5,000 souls were saved. But it's all because a couple of guys came to church that day with a mind to uplift somebody as they were praising the Lord. Every Sunday morning,
Pray up, Lord, who can uplift? Show me who I can uplift. Show me this morning how I can be an uplift. It's more important than anything. Choir got to be, if you're a singer, I say, hey, how can I uplift somebody with my song? If you're an usher, how can I usher in people in a way that uplifts them and show them how? Because when you uplift somebody, you'll show them how valuable they are. Because the world will say you're not valuable. The world will say you don't count. The world will say you're nobody. The world will say you're small and insignificant. The world will say all this to somebody. But as you uplift, you got to share with them the value that God places on them. And God said, you are so valuable, I'm willing to give my only begotten son to die for your sin. They need to feel that kind of value when they come to church. And they won't feel it if we just go through our routine. Prayer song. Go to our routines. Sermon, go to our routines. Count of money, go to our routine. They won't feel it unless we show how valuable they are by having time for them, by listening to them. Because some people, they don't feel like they're valuable because nobody listened to them. Listen to their story, sharing time with them, sharing how important it is. Thanking them for just being there. Give people value. Add value to their life. Amen. When they come here or wherever, we need to add value. That's why, you know, sometimes I'm kind of picky about how the church look. I want the bathroom to be right, and I want everything to do right, because I'm saying, you are so valuable. When you come into our building, we want to show you how valuable having a clean, comfortable, great building for you to come in. But then we also want you to know you are valuable as a person. We got time for you. You're just that valuable. Amen. Because you're part of this community. If you need something, we're like Peter. We may not always have enough silver and gold. But what we have, we'll give you what we got to make your life and uplift you as much as we can. And sometimes if we ain't got enough, we know somebody got enough. And we'll see if somebody got more than we got. And we'll give our word and we'll talk to them. And they'll give you what they got. We'll make connection. My brother and sister, that's the culture we want to create. It takes every one of us. It does not take but one person to mess up the culture. It takes one person putting down. It takes one person pulling down. And you mess up the whole culture that everybody else is trying to create. Be part of an uplifting culture. It's my challenge to you upon this morning. Christ died on the cross to lift us up from our spiritual death to spiritual life. He resurrected us to life and eternal life by putting our trust in him. He died for our sins so we can have life. There's no greater uplift than that. If you're here on this campus this morning, and you never made that decision for Christ, we pray that you would come this morning and give your life to him. Amen. After this service is over, amen, just come close to one of us. We want you to keep your 6 feet. And just, hey, say, can I speak to you for a moment? I'll lead you the path, and I need some help to learn how to become a follower of Christ. And we'll try to do that. And if you're on the podcast, amen, you can call us at 903-915-0865. Leave a message. Leave a message, amen. Be sure to leave a message if you don't get an answer. And we'll get back to you. We'll share with you how you can accept Christ. Gabriella's going to come and play us a song while she's playing us a song. We want you to consider becoming a follower of Christ. If you're not, those of you who are already followers of Christ, this is the day we take our communion. Amen. The Lord's table. So prepare for that. Go get your whatever you are drinking in to represent his blood, wine, or whatever, juice, whatever you want to get to represent his blood. And the crackers, bread, whatever you want to get to represent his body.
Table now. Amen. The Lord told us each time we do this to do it. Amen. In remembrance of his death, the suffering and the death, and then his resurrection. He went through so much for us. He gave his life for us. We don't ever forget it. And that's why we live today. I'm not going to heaven because of anything I've done. All the stuff I've done would only just put me in hell. The only reason I go to heaven because of what he done on Calvary's cross. He died and paid for all my sins. And then he gave me the ability through his spirit to become a better person. That's what I'm remembering. That's why he suffered and died. He could have stopped everything and just went back to heaven, enjoyed the time, but He came down so he could uplift us. And that's the great thing. That's the kind of God we serve. And he told us each time we do this to do it, take an inventory kind of it. Examine ourselves. I always say, when you examine yourself, you won't find a perfect self. If you're being honest. But God will share with you the areas that you need to submit to him and work on. And ask for his wonderful power to be victorious in. So we want you to take about a minute. So right now, do you may not be able to do everything, but let's take a minute to kind of begin to get in that spirit. And you can always finish, amen, later on today. But just
just ask the Lord to share with me what I need to work on and forgive me for blowing it in some areas. Let me make a U-turn and give me the power to be a better person, to live a life that's more pleasing to you in the upcoming month. Take about a minute or so. Amen. Now, these elements represent the bread that's on the top. There's two openings. Hope you can figure it out. The bread under the first layer represents the body of Christ, and then the juice, his blood that was spilled for the remission of our sins. We realize that the only way we can effectively and victoriously live the Christian life is through his spirit. Allowing him to live in us. And that's what we need every day to be victorious. But in memorial to what he's done for us, you may now take eat. And then we want to drink. Amen. We're about ready to go. Thank you so much for coming out today. Listen, now some of you, I did want to let you know. Some of you said, why is the pastor up there looking like Ray Charles with them shades on? Hey, y'all, it's not me. These are new glasses, and they're actually clear glasses, but they just changed in the sun. I didn't want to wear shades, but they became shades when I did it. So, amen. So I didn't put on, sorry, I put on clear glasses, but I came to the sun, they became shade. So this is the way we have to do it for now. But amen, we just thank God for everything he's done for us, and we're about ready to go. We're going to have our benediction quickly, so just quickly stand. We ask for you that as we leave, try to be, give room, give people 6 feet as best you can, and just leave in a way that respects the protocol in everybody's health. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. God, thank you for what you've done here today. Thank you for all your people that came out and blessed us. And we'll be receiving an offering for those of you. I'm going to start the next offering, but we're going to receive the offering afterwards. All right. Father, sorry. Listen, thank you for what you've done here today. God, don't let this seed that's planted, the seed that was sown, be taken away before it takes root. We really want to be a church that creates a culture that uplifts our community, each other, and God, uplifts the name of Jesus so we can make this planet a better place. We can't do that without you. Thank you for the spirit, your spirit that we felt and experienced in this time together. Just go on with each other safely and help us spend our day and our week uplifting others and just being you, being what you created us to be. Thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Now unto him that's able to keep us from falling, to present us without fault before our Father's throne, may the love of God our Father, the voice of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our comfort and rest, rule and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us say together, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Stay blessed, stay blessed,
yeah!
light of thy burning.